Morning, everybody. So glad you're all here.
Let's just pray again. Lord, we just thank you so much for who you are. For your faithfulness and your goodness. What I pray is bring this word this morning that will just order every step we know that you do and have. And we pray, Lord, for every person in this room that you'll tune our ears to your voice, that we can listen and we can hear. And then we can respond with nothing but obedience. We submit ourselves to you again right now in these moments, saying, Lord, have your way. Have your way. In your name I pray. Amen. See, the title of the message is The Lord Spoke, But They Paid No Attention. And we're going to take a look at an account in 2 Chronicles where this scenario played out. And then I'll tell you, we'll read the scenario, and then I'll tell you a little bit about how this came to be, this message came to be. So we're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 33, and we're dealing with the reign of Manasseh. He was 12 years old when he became king. I can't even process that in my mind of a 12-year-old. He was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years, so he was in power for a long time. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had demolished. He also erected altars to the Baals and made Asherah poles. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshiped them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, My name will remain in Jerusalem forever. In both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. He sacrificed his children in the fire in the valley of Ben-Hanan, practiced divination, witchcraft, sought omens, all kinds of stuff, consulted into mediums and spiritists. He did evil, much evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. He took the image he had made and put it in God's temple, of which God had said to David and to his Solomon, In this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. I will not again make the feet of the Israelites leave the land I assigned to your ancestors, if only they will be careful to do everything I commanded them concerning the laws, decrees, and regulations given through Moses. But Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray, so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. I read this just in my devotions on Monday, I think it was Monday, and it stopped me short. It stopped me short when I read the Lord spoke and they paid no attention. And I sat there and just looked at that, just kind of grief-stricken. And my thought was, Lord, don't let that ever be me, don't let that ever be us. I don't want that to ever be one of those situations where the Lord speaks to Fran and she's not paying attention, where the Lord speaks to Shayla and she's not paying attention, where the Lord speaks to Pastor Ben and he's not paying attention, where the Lord speaks to Lori and she's not paying attention, where the Lord speaks to Scott and he's not paying attention, where I even kind of wrote out a little thing, I didn't put it in here, but I wrote it out in my notes. The Lord spoke to empty blank. Don't want our name to ever be part of that equation. Not one of us. Not one of us. Because he is speaking to us. Anybody who's been around here for any length of time knows that he's speaking to us. Our word for the year is the voice of truth, the whisper and the roar and the whisper. So we know the Lord has put us on assignment to pay attention to that voice of truth. That clearly, if that's our word for the year, anybody that's been around for even more than a year knows that when he speaks a word to us, he means it. 2 years ago, he spoke to us, invite the strangers. And 2 weeks later, we were inundated with strangers as the assistant center for the train derailment. We know that we don't come up with these words just out of our own imaginations or out of our own intellect. The Lord speaks to us, and this year he has said, we're going to be proclaiming the voice of truth. We're going to be listening for the voice of truth, and sometimes that'll be a roar. Sometimes it'll be loud, but sometimes it might be a whisper. But he's speaking to us, and I don't want him ever to speak to us, and we're not paying attention. We clearly see from the example of Manasseh that there was a result of that. The Lord, and this reminded me of Pastor Shane's message a couple of weeks ago, the sword that separates, where he said, if we remain in his kindness, then we'll receive the result of remaining in his kindness. But if we don't, we receive the severity, and this was certainly that. The sword that separates. Consider the kindness and the severity of God, severity to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. So there's a reminder there. We see these recurring themes. Lord is speaking sometimes words of great encouragement to us, but sometimes words that we sometimes don't like to associate with a God who loves us so much. But it's because he loves us so much that he says, I don't think you need to do that anymore. I don't think you need that in your life anymore. The Lord spoke and they paid no attention. Don't let it be you. Don't let it be you. Not even once. I have a little homework assignment that I'm giving you. Reminder of our word, the voice of truth. But our homework assignment, you can do this on your own this week. Take a look at Deuteronomy 28. I'm not going to go into this chapter today. This is your homework assignment. Right from the beginning here, I'm giving you a homework assignment. Study it. Look at it. Because there's blessings for obedience. If you fully obey the Lord your God, carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will. And there's a whole list there. Contrast that with curses for disobedience. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully command all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. Which side of the equation? Which side of the equation are we living in? I know most of you in the room. I know which side you're on. I know how you're living, and it's awesome. But I don't want there to be even one person in the room. I don't want there to even be one among us who's not paying attention to what the Lord is speaking, what he's saying, what he's asking of us, what he's in some ways requiring of us. Not from some legalism, place of legalism. We don't do anything because, I better do this because it's... No, we love to please him. It comes from a place of wanting to please him because he saved us. He gave us a love that we could never, ever, ever imagine. He forgave us from despicable things. So there's a response. Lord, here's my life. Use it. Mold me, shape me into your likeness. Isaiah 42:20 says, you have seen many things. How many in here have seen many things? You've seen many things of the Lord. Many things, many. Jay has. You've seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. These are warnings. These are warnings. Proverbs. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I mean, these are just simple instructions that he's already given. These are already written words. What are you doing to guard your heart? Are you paying attention to things already written in the Word? Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Simple instructions, but he says, starts out, pay attention to these words. Pay attention. The Lord spoke, but they didn't pay attention in Manasseh's day, his people, and his people. I was talking last Saturday I may have even said this last week, but it goes with this message. I was talking to somebody at the rummage sale, and he was talking about things the Lord is doing in his life, some instruction he's given him, and to kind of take a step into something, and it's a difficult step, but he's been working toward that. Been working toward taking this step, but he hadn't taken the step, the kind of final step yet, so we're standing there talking about this thing that he's supposed to do, somebody comes up to us right on the spot and asks about doing something that connects to the very thing he's supposed to do. I mean, yeah, imagine that. The Lord was speaking, and this man was paying attention. He was paying attention. He heard that. It was like a whap in the head. Like, how? And I even said to him, how much more evidence do you need? And then, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes later, he comes over and said, hey, I just got another phone call about another thing related to what this thing I'm supposed to do. So within a matter of a half an hour, you know, and the following Monday, he took the step. He took the step of obedience. The Lord is speaking. He's speaking, and he's speaking through all manner of things in the course of our daily life. Just simply wants us to pay attention and then obey. Pay attention and then obey. In Hebrews, we read this, we must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. And I don't know about you, I don't know if you've ever been out on a lazy river and you just float, and maybe sometimes you fall asleep and you wake up and you're like, wow, how did I get here? And that's kind of a fun thing. But drifting away in our walk with Jesus, we find ourselves, well, we may find ourselves like Manasseh, maybe a hook in our nose. I don't know what that looks like in the spiritual. But shackles on our feet, I know what that looks like in the spiritual. You can't move. You're in a trap. Scriptures say he was became a prisoner. And if we're hearing the voice of God and not responding and not paying attention, Not paying attention to what he's saying, we may find ourselves a prisoner to something or someone. And so the drifting away can happen really subtly. It's not always pronounced. Not paying attention. And pretty soon I was heading down this path, and pretty soon I'm heading down this path. And I said, how did I get here? How did I get here? Because I wasn't listening. I wasn't paying attention, and I wasn't obeying even the simplest of instructions. Something that anybody that's, again, been around here for any length of time knows, that Pastor Don used to have a phrase. Pastor Don was our founding pastor. He's now with Jesus. But he had a phrase that he said, people would ask him, how did you grow this? How did this you grow this church? How did this church grow? And how many know what his answer was? Just show up. And we grow our own. We grow our own. We grow our own people. We grow our own leaders. We grow our own. But just show up was a phrase that Pastor Don said over and over and over again. And I was thinking about that because we have so many things we do. And even as he said, just show up, there was never any requirement. There was never any, like, well, you better be here. You better be here if the doors are open. The doors are unlocked. You better be here. It was never any, like, mandate. It was always one of those things. People saw what was happening and wanted to be here. They didn't want to miss stuff. But it was never a legalistic type thing that if you don't come, somehow you're sinning or somehow you're... So I say that because that is still true. We have many, many things we do around here. And we don't ever, like, say, well, Matt wasn't there for that, so he must be struggling or he must be in sin or must... You know, we don't... It's not that way at all. At the same time, I want everybody to be at everything because I personally don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss anything. And so I say that because we have many, many things that are going on here that I believe what we're experiencing now in this body, what we're experiencing in our worship, what we're experiencing whenever we gather, is the result of some of those other things that are going on. I got this sent to me a couple of days ago, and I'm just going to share it because it is so good. From one of our women, it says this, and she was on her way to a gathering of prayer where she was going to be praying with some other people. And here's what it says, and it was so relevant to this word. You are being trained up in the secret place to be positioned in the public square. Now remember, a couple weeks ago, I talked about our lampstands, our strategically placed lampstands. That's part of who we are. We're being strategically placed to be a light in the community, in the county, in the state, in the world, all over the place. I was thinking about this, I'll get back to this in a minute, but I was thinking last week, Dino, our friend Dino from Slovenia was here with his wife and three children. Pastor Mark met Dino from Slovenia while working at the Canfield Fair how many years ago? Many years ago. A man from Slovenia who comes into this into our lives, comes to know Jesus. The reach of your obedience is not limited to next door. It may be next door, but it's not limited to next door. You are being trained in the secret place to be positioned in the public square. This is a word for you. It's a word for me. You're part of that equation. Delight in this time with me. This is where leaders get made. This is where kingdoms are built. This is where legacies extend. I am extending your tents. I'm sending you strategy for victory over the enemy. All you need to do is be present. All you need to do is sacrifice this time to me. Don't build yourself up just pressing to me. Just stay down low and let me lift you up. Trust me. Will I not abide my time with you? Will I not counsel you in these places? The places of deep rest are here with me now when you sit before me and just bask in my presence. This is the place where you don't look for me to glorify you. You look to glorify me. In my name, I am pleased with you. And then she comments a little bit about it. And she says, I'm thinking about this today, how the moves we've seen in our corporate time on Sundays is not just random. It's the result of pressing in corporately in our private time, seeking his face and adding these things to our schedule just to go and seek his face and praise him. So we've had women from other places wanting to join groups just to find connection. It's all connected. It all matters. It's very much setting the table and blessing our Sunday gatherings. What we experience here is the result of other things that are happening, of other gatherings. Good word. Relevant word. And I told her that. This goes with my message, and it's the opposite of not paying attention. And the reality is we have many, many people here who are paying attention. Many, many people who are listening and who are responding and who are obeying. The thing about just showing up is we never know exactly what Holy Spirit is going to do as a result of your showing up. For the last year, men have been meeting at Pastor Shane's house for prayer on Saturday morning, 6:30. You're all invited. You're all invited. You're all actually encouraged, if you're able, to come. Because we've seen something happening, and I've over the last year said, Lord, what is it? What is it that is taking place here that I can't put my finger exactly on, but that you're doing this work? And the reality is I have some answers to that, but I don't have the full answer, because we'll never know the full answer, because there's the mystery of Jesus that says, I am so glad you were there, Tony. I'm giving you something, and you may not even know all that it is, but I'm giving it to you, and it's going to strengthen you when you go to work tomorrow or Monday. Awesome. He says awesome because his work is stressful. There's something that Jesus brings in that environment that we can't fully describe, can't even fully know. But Jesus, Holy Spirit, responds to the obedience of showing up. It says, I'm doing something. So this week I asked some of the guys, I asked some of them to just give me, I said, why do you come? Why do you do this? Why do you do this? And the first person I want to ask was Pastor Shane. Pastor Shane has hosted this in his home. It'll be a year in June, the beginning of June. And here's the thing. Now, he didn't write this. These are my words. Pastor Shane lets anywhere from 15, 16 to 35 guys invade his house every single Saturday. And there was only maybe 1 week that he didn't have it there. Greg Langer has perfect attendance, as does Pastor Shane, actually. Even the week that he didn't have it at his house, he wasn't going to be there, but it turned out he was able to be there, and he ended up going to Dave Guy's house. But the reality is there's something that goes on there. So I asked Pastor Shane to explain, why do you do this? And here's what he said. I'm saying this to encourage some of you who maybe haven't come for any reason, haven't understood why it's valuable. But I don't want not showing up to be a God spoke and we weren't paying attention moment. So that's why this is relevant, because the Lord showed me very clearly the just showing up word is part of this lesson. Here's what Pastor Shane said. I think prayer is the most important and probably often the most neglected aspect of a life of faith. You can sing songs about them. We've done that today. We can read about them. We've done that today. We can listen to catchy sermons about them. We're listening to a sermon about him. I don't know how catchy it is, but never really know Jesus. But to pray is literally to draw near and commune with him. I felt like the Lord put this on my heart because men have mostly left the intercession to women. Let that sting. But how can we lead our families and fight for our families without prayer? Prayer is the greatest act of spiritual warfare. Men need to pray. I've also learned that there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that activates the power of the Holy Spirit in us like prayer. And we need the Holy Spirit. Honestly, we'll probably never know what all has been accomplished in the Spirit over the past year, but I do know that iron really has sharpened iron. I'm more spiritually sharp, and I know many other men are as well. We're breaking down the barriers of spiritual mediocrity in each other. Different bodies are being united. If you know, just a side note, yeah, we have people from other churches come, not regularly, but some of them come. We have had pastors from at least three different other churches have been there, and members from other places. Christ's church is taking shape. It's no longer being held back from weak, mediocre men. We've also crushed generational barriers. We've had every generation present, from his one-year-old son to men in their 80s and everything in between. Most weeks, every decade is represented. We've had 20-year-olds praying over 80-year-olds and vice versa. Another account from one of the guys. I get a sense of comfort and peace engaging in fellowship with other men from church because the power of the Holy Spirit is moving among us. One of the things you're going to see in these answers repeatedly over and over and over again is Holy Spirit is doing a work when we show up. That's part of his response. Just by showing up, Holy Spirit saying, I'm giving you something, and maybe something for you that's completely different from the person sitting next to you. You'll also hear this repeatedly among the guys. Pastor Shane referenced it. This person references it well. I know we use Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. And I've come to realize what that actually means. The weeks I come and have that fellowship, I honestly leave feeling sharper and full. But the weeks I don't come, it's definitely noticeable. Not feeling separated from God, but just maybe a little dull. Maybe not having my guard up as much as I should have when the enemy attempts to attack. Some value I find from these are knowing that the support you have from other men that are ready to fight in battle for you, with that support comes a sense of security in my faith because I know it's backed by Jesus. It brings value to all the men because if one of us is dealing with a trial, the rest of the men are right there to pick them up. It's building relationships because we need to hold each other accountable. I mean, I have so many examples. It's my oxygen. I become weaker when not strengthened by our church body. As I show up and allow myself to be led by the Holy Spirit, he can use me as he sees fit. Another, when I was invited to come, after attending at first, I realized that drive for prayer that grew in me that I hadn't had for a long time. Something stirred that said, I need to be praying. It has helped me keep a sane mind through storms. Iron sharpens iron. It's a discipline like fasting. I may not want to get up at 6 a.m., but it's good for my spirit. It's men taking their place and leading the body, forming strong relationships so that we all can grow toward the ultimate goal of being like Jesus. Saturday mornings is peaceful as men gather together. The atmosphere is just calm. It's a good place to hear God talk to you. He's speaking. He's speaking in these times. I show up because I know God's going to be there. There have been some Saturdays that just seem too hard to go, but after pushing through and going, I've always been so thankful that I was there and able to witness the move of the Holy Spirit among us. Corporately, I see God moving the lives of us together. Together, it's something that can't help happen when we're just apart. This is in no way a substitute for personal time with Jesus alone. That's awesome. That is awesome, and I won't take anything away from your personal time with Jesus. But there's something that happens when we gather corporately. One man said, I really love my brothers. See, that love grows when we're together. When we're together. I need to be sharpened and encouraged. Holy Spirit uses this to encourage others. It's where iron truly sharpens iron over and over again. The instruction in Hebrews, these are more just more testimonies, and I'm sharing them because it's so relevant, and my encouragement is that if you're sitting here and you haven't shown up, or you have come maybe once or twice or for a little bit, but for whatever reason have stayed away, my encouragement is come back or come for the first time, because there's something the Holy Spirit is doing that is not just about you. Not just about you, but it may be a way he wants to use you. The instruction in Hebrews to continue meeting together all the more as Jesus' return nears is the reason I just show up. Accountability that comes with a community of brothers that desires to please Jesus is irreplaceable. If something is out of balance in my life, my proximity to the group allows others to call me out. The power available to a group of men gathering to cast their cares and concerns at his feet. Wow, I know the prayers I pray impact my family directly. When we bring these to the table and join arms as brothers, maybe not even verbally, maybe you're not speaking out loud. There are many men that show up and have never uttered a word out loud, but yet they keep coming. So it tells me there's something happening. And that's not an indictment. It's just that they're coming and being a part of it. Not everybody has to speak. When we express those prayers, maybe not even verbally, but trusting Holy Spirit still hears my heart's cry and corporately works those desires and plans out for my good, my family's good, and the good of the community I'm part of. This does not happen if I allow myself to be disconnected. Lastly, I love my family dynamic at ELF. I'm so blessed to be planted at ELF and to be surrounded by the men that we have. I've heard it stated that revival looks like healthy family, and we have something special, not exclusive to the men, but obviously absolutely evident. That core is a critical element as a leader of the church to be immersed in. That's why I show up. There cannot be any lone wolves in the church. I tried that and I failed every time in one way or another. The reason I show up at men's prayer is mostly to feed others. I don't show up for myself, to share the blessings and the gifts that God has given me throughout the week. God has pulled me out of the wilderness and cleansed me. I no longer go to church or men's prayer just to be fed. I love to hear the powerful things said at prayer and at Men of Valor. And this would be lost if I was not present. I wouldn't gain any of that. One more. Surrounding myself with you guys strengthens me. It allows me to have like-minded men stand next to me and to agree with me when I bring my requests before the Lord. Pastor Shane said once that the Lord is going to raise the ceiling on the family whose husband and father is dedicated enough to show up at 6 a.m. and meet with God. And although I'm not married yet, so you kind of know what demographic this is coming from, I'm not married yet. I don't want my future wife and kids to be stunted by my lack of severity of what it means to be a man. I feel like there's a call to the church right now to step out of passivity. And it has to start with men, because passivity started with a man. Praying as men allows us to set up defenses against the attacks of the enemy in the church. It allows us to strengthen each other. I feel like the most of it is declaring life over the body of Christ. Men's prayer is where a group of guys wake up early to go to war. And here's the conclusion of this, his message and my testimony about these words. I think every man ought to be there if they can. And I just say all that because, again, I don't want, and again, we have invitations to many things, many things. We had a men's worship night Friday night, a new ministry you'll hear referenced as Burning the Ships, Burning the Ships. We had our first Burning the Ships gathering, and the obedience of a man back there named Larry anybody that's paid attention to Larry and Katie have seen a family that has said yes to Jesus, whatever it takes, we're all in. And so Holy Spirit orchestrated burning of the ships, and we had our first men's worship night, And when I first heard about it, I thought, men are not going to come to just worship. Now, we ate food too. But the worship was rich. And even though Tanner said we sounded terrible, and we probably did, that pavilion was rocking with men just submitting themselves in worship to Jesus. And it wasn't just us. There were about 10 guys from another church joined us. And the vision for this is for that, to again bring the body of Christ together. Men in the body of Christ taking their positions and saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm so grateful for what Jesus has done in my life, and I'm going to show up and let Jesus do. And I said from the start to myself, do I really need to go to something else? And Holy Spirit said, yep. Yep. And I walked away knowing he did something in me that I can't fully identify. He made a deposit. He made a deposit in me. He makes a deposit in us when we show up for whatever it is that we're doing. There are lots of small groups forming that are meeting. Women's belonging has extended its reach into not just corporate gatherings with everybody, but smaller groups of women gathering at various times throughout the week to do one thing and one thing alone, and that's pray. Seek God's face. Well, I guess each group can decide whatever the focus of their group is, but prayer is the heart. It's the heart. It's what Pastor Shane described so perfectly. Holy Spirit gets unleashed when we submit to saying, I'm going to bow down and I'm going to submit to myself to Jesus and I'm going to seek his face and I'm going to do it together with other men or other women, whatever the case may be. I was reminded as I was working on this lesson, I don't have this passage up here, but y'all know when there's a passage in Samuel where it says, when kings go off to war, David, who was the king, stayed home. David stayed home when he was supposed to have gone off to war, but he stayed home. And it was soon after that, while he was staying at home, that he looked out on his balcony and he saw Bathsheba. And we all know the account. It led to sin. It led to murder. It led to adultery. And the reminder of that passage is sometimes when we just stay home, we find ourselves where we're not supposed to be. Whether that's for a man or for a woman is not for me to decide, but I remember years ago, many years ago, how many remember the name Bill Arne? There's more than a few. Well, a few maybe. Maybe a couple dozen. Bill Arne and his wife Martha were just pillars here, pillars in this community. They were missionaries, and they were just part of this body. And I remember, we used to have Sunday evening service every week, and we also used to have two services on Sunday morning. And I remember very early Holy Spirit telling my wife and I, and even our young daughter at the time, go to both morning services and go to evening service. So we were here for all of it. But I remember one particular evening service, Bill Arn praying for me. And I know he prayed this prayer over not just me, but other young men. I was much younger at the time. But I remember him putting his very large hand on me and saying, "It's important that you are here." And I thought, really? Why would that be? I'm 20-something. Why would it be important that I'm here? But what he was saying was, I'm doing a work, Holy Spirit's doing a work in you, that you're showing up here at your young age, when you have a young family, your showing up here matters. And perhaps it's going to witness to somebody else, or perhaps I'm going to do a work in you just by because you've shown up here. And I knew that's what he was saying. So I could speak that word. It's important that you're here. Now, again, do you have to be here every time the doors are open? No. Do you have to do everything we do? No. Everything's not for everybody. I get that. But don't ignore the nudges. Because the Lord has spoken to us, saying, the voice of truth is going to be proclaimed in this place. But it's not just in this building. It's wherever we're gathering. So I was asking the Lord, what is it? What are some of those things that are happening? And I'll just use men's prayer as an example again. One is, I believe our hearing is being fine-tuned. Our hearing is but being fine-tuned as we're gathering together to listen for his voice, as we're there to pray, and we're there to hold one another up, and we're there iron sharpening iron, all those things that I read about. That's all happening. But our hearing is being fine-tuned. And so I was this kind of answer was going on in my head when I was in the shower the other day, of all places. I was in the shower, and I heard our hearing is being refined. And I said to the Lord, what else? What else? What else is a result? And this is going to sound really, really weird. But I saw these three words on my shampoo bottle that actually came from Sandy Cato. And it said, dry scalp care. It was weird because the bottle's been sitting there for a week at least, and I've never saw those words. But I had specifically just said, what else? And he said, I am, when you guys are gathering, I'm bringing whatever's dry, those dry areas of your mind. Our scalp is our head. And whatever's dry and just sort of maybe scaling or and I'm bringing my oil. I'm bringing my oil. What does oil represent in Scripture? Anointing. I'm bringing anointing as you're showing up. And anointing is hard to quantify. It's hard to actually even describe, but it's the empowering presence of Jesus showing up as you show up. And it was such a, I stood there just staring at this shampoo bottle going, well, that seems really dumb and I'm not going to share that. Here I am. Because he'll speak however he wants to speak. He'll use whatever he wants to use. And Sandy brought that shampoo bottle to the rummage sale for us to sell, but I stole it. Because I needed shampoo. But he used a stupid shampoo bottle to answer a specific thing that I'm doing something when you guys gather to bring an anointing that if you don't show up, you'll miss out on. Now, can you get anointing alone in your home? Yes. I'm not suggesting that you can't get some of this stuff apart, but there's an element of that you will not get apart from the whole. Galatians, Paul gives this little bit of warning. You're running a good race. You're running a good race. And just relay this to whatever I was coming to worship with you on Sunday and then I stopped for whatever reason. I was coming with you on Wednesdays and I stopped for whatever reason. I was coming with you on Saturdays, but I stopped for whatever reason. You know, and there's lots of good reasons. I'm not, people have to work, people do other things. I'm not, again, not making this a mandate. I'm just saying, I don't want this ever be one of those things where the Lord's speaking and we're not paying attention because there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. It startled me when I read that price this week, even though I'd read that passage many times. You're running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. So we're going to look at the conclusion of the story of Manasses. Again, chapter 33 of 2 Chronicles. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention, so the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, and who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors. And when he prayed, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. And then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. There's a thing called repentance. There's a thing that in my distress, or I end up bowing down and saying, Lord, I disobeyed. I wasn't paying attention. And the Lord restored him. He restored him. And so there's not one of us, even when we have disobeyed, even when we've fallen short, even when we've sort of just gone our own way, we cry out to Jesus, he's right there saying, all right, now let's move forward together. Let's move forward together. What's the Lord requiring of you? What's he asking you of? What's your part in this? I shared in our class today, I won't give you the details of the account that I shared in class, but I saw something in men's prayer this past week that was, and it was just a reminder to me of how detailed our God is. There were two men seated strategically near one another. One of those men is about to begin a new job. The man who was strategically across the, just across, like this, has already done that job. And I saw at one point that them talking, and I'm guessing the younger guy was filling him in on this new job that he was about to take. And at one point in the prayer meeting, Pastor Shane observed, because the older man at one point prayed for the younger man, and at one point Pastor Shane acknowledged just how good our God is, that he would, in his sovereignty, position these two people right next to each other for one to perhaps become a mentor to the other as this new adventure begins. And as I sat there and observed this, it was just a picture of simple steps of obedience that these two men both showed up there out of obedience, found themselves positioned next to each other, and how detailed our God is in unfolding his plans to say, you're going to begin this new adventure with someone who's walked those steps before that you can lean on. That's how good our God is. That's how detailed our God is in orchestrating steps and in adding to someone's equation just because they showed up. It is amazing. It's amazing. And it's, oh my goodness, we don't have to fumble our way through life. We don't even have to guess. Because he's really, really good at leading us, but we have to pay attention. As I said, I don't want anyone in this room to be turned over to some authority, and I don't mean that in some sort of literal way, but I don't want someone with shackles end up with shackles on because they said no. Delayed obedience is still disobedience, and I don't want that for any one of us. That is not a judgment. That is not meant to be harsh, but he's calling us. We know that he's got great plans for us. We're in the middle of those plans. They're already unfolding. It's not like it's just starting. We're moving. But he wants all of us. He wants all of us. Whatever that looks like, whatever that's supposed to look like, I don't begin to know that whole picture. But it's an exciting time for this body. It's an exciting time for the body of Christ, not just this body. If he's speaking, hear him. Listen for him. If you don't know how, tell him or tell somebody else, how do I hear God's voice? We will help you to learn how to discern that. Let's stand. I remember a number of years ago, I don't think Connie and I were here yet at Abundant Life. We were driving every Sunday. I don't know how long a period of time this went on, several months, to West Virginia. to it was a Vineyard church, just for some, they had this class they were doing, and so we drove every week for this class because we knew we were supposed to go. And and I've told this story before. We thought that at some point we might be part of planting a Vineyard church in Columbiana County. And when we started coming here, and we were here for a while, maybe a couple of years, I remember saying to the Lord, "What happened to the Vineyard?" And he said, "You're in it. You're in it." Now, I didn't know anything about being called to be a pastor at the time. But he said, "I've planted you here, and I have plans for you here." Another reminder to me, just be obedient to the things that seem like they don't make any sense sometimes. Why are we driving to West Virginia? Because the things we learned all those years ago, we're living out now. We're living them out right now. Don't begrudge the struggles and the things you go through, because they're all training. They're all training. If submitted to the hand of God, if submitted, because He knows what's in store for you. He knows what's next for you. And the things that you're learning, I look back on many, many details of my life and think, oh my goodness, that's when I learned that. That's when I learned that. That's when I learned that. And I need all of that now. He knows how to lead His people. Let's pray. Lord, Jesus, I thank You so much. Thank You so much for Your presence here today. Thank You for Your goodness, Your faithfulness. Thank You for not sending us without provision. You send us, You've made provision for whatever You have in mind to happen. So I pray today for this people that we will, even this week, we will hear Your voice and we will pay attention, because we know You're speaking. There's not a question of whether You're speaking or not. The question is, are we listening and are we responding? Lord, I thank You for every healing we celebrated in this place today. I thank You for testimonies of Your healing power. I thank You for iron that is sharpening iron as we gather in many different contexts throughout the week. And Your plans for it all. Pray Your hand on each one as we go out of this place today. Pray for celebrations that will take place today as we gather with family to celebrate moms. Pray You'll be in the midst of conversations today. In the middle of all of it, You'll get all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you